Today we are going to read Joshua 1, 1 through 18, aka the whole chapter. Here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are going to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, you may be seated. Thank you, Manny. We have a special treat this morning. One of sons of this house from many years ago and a covenant brother of mine, Alan Mitchell. He is the campus director at NC State, and he's been working there. We have any state graduates in here? I know we got a few. It's okay. You can. We won't throw stones at you. We see who you are. No, we're honored to have Alan here. He was a member here as a student and then as a campus missionary, and now he's doing God's work all over the world, as you'll find out. But I just want to invite him up, Alan, to come and give the word.
Thank you, Pastor Blake. How's everybody doing? Good. It's so great to be here this morning. Come on, you can clap. That's okay. That's good. Praise God. Well, we're going to look at a couple things this morning, but I just want to take a second to honor my friend Blake. You know, the passage we're reading this morning is actually about Moses transitioning to Joshua. That's part of the passage. And so Joshua comes in, and he's called to conquer or take over the inheritance that God has given a group of people. And much that parallels very much with this church and its call that God has given you guys a great leader in Blake Dameron, and that he is going to bring you into God's inheritance for you in this season. And so really leaning into what God has for you, specifically for this church, for your families, for your children, for your children's children. And there's a great inheritance in this church this morning. And so I just want to say that before I begin. So can we honor Blake, Pastor Blake, and Michelle? Love you guys. Really do. So, okay, well, We're going to be looking at, I'm going to read that passage again. Just kidding. No, I won't do that. Now we're going to, Joshua chapter 1, here we go. So we're looking at this, and why I wanted to look at this is that Israel is coming into their inheritance. And then you've got these three tribes. So it's most of Israel in this passage has not come into the portions of land that they've been promised, that they have inherited. They're going to take their inheritance that they've been given. And there's no doubt that, you know, inheritances are always given when what happens? Something has to happen for you to get your inheritance. Somebody has to die. Yeah. So, you know, throughout your life, if you're going to get an inheritance, somebody has to pass away so you can get your inheritance. And so Moses is dying here. There's a lot of death bringing inheritance in the Bible. And here we go, and we see that three of the Israelite tribes have their inheritance, and the rest of the tribes don't. And so that's where the passage starts. Now, when you think of inheritance, like inheritance in the U.S., what comes to mind? Land and money. That's right. Land and money. Is there anything else? Bitcoin? You know, anybody got any Bitcoin inheritance? No, nobody knows, right? Well, it's so funny. God put this passage on my heart, which is really about getting an inheritance, taking possession. And of course, this week, now this sounds sad, but I'm not sad. I don't care about that. I'm going to tell y'all something that sounds sad, but don't feel bad for me. I'm fine. So somebody called me this week who was going to give me an inheritance. And out of nowhere, it was actually a piece of land. It was a great piece of land. And they called me to tell me that they had sold the land and now they were keeping the money. And I was like, that's an odd thing to call somebody with so much joy in your voice. But you know what? Praise God. I got a different inheritance, don't we, believers? We got a different inheritance. And so thank God for that different inheritance. If I wasn't saved before, I would be saved now. I'd be like, Lord, you got to come help me. I got no inheritance now. So as a believer, though, what is your, when you say the believer's inheritance, what do we usually think of? Just shout it out. Eternal life. Yes. Amen. What else? What was that? Yeah, crowns of life. Okay, what else? Holy Spirit, sonship, good. Salvation, yeah, healing, good. What else? Grace, redemption. There's a lot to name in there. That's why Paul says, I hope you're able to understand all the inheritance that you have in Christ. Because we could go on and on and on. Okay, so one way to summarize part of our inheritance, and when Christians think of inheritance, this is usually what they think of, is in Acts chapter 26, 17 through 19, which says, you have been rescued. And verse 18, it says, and your eyes have been opened so that you may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. How many of you guys are turned from the dominion of Satan unto God? Praise God. Amen. Don't you remember what that life was like? And now where are you at? You're in your inheritance. It's because somebody had to die for that, didn't they? Somebody had to die for you to live in your inheritance now. So believers, you've got a little bit of your inheritance, but I'm here to tell you there's four things you need to know about your inheritance this morning. Number one is you can grow your inheritance. Come on, did you know that you can grow your inheritance? You can grow your inheritance as a believer. Number two, I'm going to tell you how to grow your inheritance. Number three, this might sting. I'll let the Holy Spirit sting you if he wants to sting you, but it may sting. You can improperly use your inheritance. And number four, you have a call from God that in this life is not just you're not just an inheritance manager of yourself. You're actually supposed to help other people get their inheritance. So those are the four things. Let me pray. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and impart to us how great of an inheritance we have in you. God, we would see the hidden inheritances we have in you this morning. Our eyes would be open to it. God, you'd help us grow our inheritance, and God, you would help us help others grow their inheritance and get their inheritance as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys remember in that passage, or maybe you don't, it's a long passage, it says, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, this is verse 12, he said, remember, now this is going to be important for our entire sermon this morning, these passages in Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. And he says, 13, this is what Joshua says to them. He says, remember the word which Moses spoke to you. Now, this is the tribes who already have their inheritance. Say, already have their inheritance. They already got it. It's good. They're living happy. They don't have any reason to go to war. You know, they've got the land. They've got their cows out there. I just got back from Switzerland. That is cow country. I didn't realize it. But that's why Swiss cheese and all that, you know, that there's cows everywhere. There's cows all over the place. And it's peaceful over there. And it's like telling a bunch of Switzerland people, Swiss people say, hey, let's go to war. Wrong country for that. They're not going to be interested in going to war. And so it's like a bunch of people who have it pretty good. And God says to them, Joshua says to them, he says, now you remember what Moses told you guys who have an inheritance right now that are enjoying your inheritance. It says, the Lord your God will give you rest in this land. Remember, God did say that. But your wives, your little ones, and your cattle need to remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross the Jordan and go into battle with your brothers. And then it says, all the valiant warriors went and they helped them until the Lord gives your brothers rest. You don't get to enjoy your inheritance fully. You don't get to just rest in the peace of God and the love of God and the rest that really comes in the shalom. You're actually called to say, I can't fully rest right now. I've got to go cross the Jordan and battle some things. And so who's excited about that? Come on. You don't want to leave your inheritance, you know? Nobody does. Nobody wants to leave their inheritance for the most part. Most people enjoy it. You know, it's like a good vacation. It's like, man, this is good. I got the Holy Spirit. I like my friends. This is easy. Going out there and moving towards what maybe God wants me to help other people come into the inheritance I have, that's scary and hard, right? Like when you go to Starbucks and you're in the drive-thru and maybe the Holy Spirit gives you an unction to say, hey, get somebody else an inheritance. Talk to that person in the Starbucks drive-thru about Jesus. And, you know, you get to the window and you're like, am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? And then you say, yeah, thanks. Have a nice day. God bless you. And then you take off, right? And you're like, Lord, that's as much as I can do right now. And that's okay. If that's where you are right now, we're just going to continue to, you're in the middle of the Jordan. We got to get you all the way over the Jordan, okay? And so that's good, though. I'd rather have you in the middle than stand on the shore, just in your inheritance. So praise God. So multiple things. So first one is how to grow your inheritance. Well, you've got to understand how you can grow your inheritance, that you have a hidden inheritance. Most believers do not realize this. Now, the way you can understand your hidden inheritance that you have, that is not just the things you already mentioned, which was rest and peace and life and salvation. Yes, those are part of your inheritance, but you have a whole nother wing. Like I said before, it's like you've got cryptocurrency inheritance. You just didn't even know what it was or how it helped. And so this is your other inheritance you may not know about. Deuteronomy 32:9 says this about the Lord's inheritance. Do you guys know what the Lord's inheritance is? Silence. All right, so the Lord's inheritance is this. This is the Lord's portion, Deuteronomy 32:9. Does anybody have their Bible? What's it say? Deuteronomy 32:9. Is his people. When God thinks about his inheritance, it's people. It's you. He's not concerned about land. He can make another earth easy. But there's only one of you. There's only one of you. And there's only one person person who's in the Starbucks line, who's giving orders, the barista. There's only one of her. There's only that one person at work who you see every day. There's only one of him. There's nobody else like them ever in the history of the world. God threw the mold away when he made them. And so there's that person. He says, that is my inheritance. And we know, don't we, that somebody has to what? Die for him to get that inheritance. But that is God's inheritance. And guess what, believer? You are, what does Romans 8:17 say? Let's see it up here. It says, and if we are children, then we are heirs. Amen? That means heirs are entitled to the full estate, or the full inheritance, rather, that you can't be taken away. You know, like my inheritance got taken away that I'm not bitter at all? Come on. It can't be taken away from you, okay? But it goes on to say, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ, okay? So if you put all that together, what you get is Christ has an inheritance, and his inheritance is the nations. And it's the people of the nations, not just the physical creation, it's the people. And so you are joint heirs with him, which means people are also your inheritance as well. The people at your work are your inheritance as well. Now, how could those, you think about this, you think, that's not a very good inheritance, some of these people, Lord. I don't know if you've met them. It's not always great. I wouldn't have signed up. I don't know how this investment's going to go, Lord. It seems like it's tracking down, you know. And the truth is, let me just say this first. I'll do this first, and then I'll talk about how great this is. Let me show you a picture of an inheritance in here, of your inheritance, this hidden inheritance in other people. If someone in this room led you to Christ, I want you to raise your hand high. Someone in this room led you to Christ. Now, will you do me a favor? Would you mind just standing up for me, just real quick? I'm not going to make you come up here, but just stand up. All right? And then I want you to point to the person who led you to Christ. Go ahead. Point to him right now. I'm just kidding. There you go. Now, look around. Now, aren't you glad, stay standing, aren't you glad that these people are in your lives, really? Like, aren't you so thankful that God brought them into your life? And then the people they pointed to, I want you guys, if you got pointed to, I want you to stand up. I know this is hard to do because you want to be humble, but just stand up for me real quick. If they pointed to you, stand up. One person stood. I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate you being bold. All right, so this is the inheritance that we have. What I'm saying is it's more than obviously your possessions. Obviously, it's more than your rest. It's these image bearers, isn't it? Full of glory and joy and a crown. And what an amazing thing to know you guys and to walk with you. You guys can sit down. And how many of you guys in this room have benefited from those people you just saw standing? And it's like they're a blessing to be around. And see what happened when someone actually went after their inheritance that's more than just their own personal peace and rest, but went after the thing that God says is his inheritance, it blessed everybody. And see, we need everybody blessing everybody with more inheritance. We all win when the inheritance increases. And so, like, I saw Frank Boone in here this morning. I don't know if he's probably serving somewhere. There he is. Okay. But, you know, I just remember when Frank got saved over at ECU and Rice Brooks led him to Christ. And I am so thankful for Frank Boone. I mean, genuinely, anytime he gets on a base or anything, I'm like, Lord, just thank you, Jesus, for Frank Boone. It is a blessing for many of us to be around him, to hear his ideas on things and his different way of looking at things. And he pokes around and like, hey, what about this or that? And it's like, man, this is so cool that I get to know this guy. And one day, for me, for instance, some of you guys are like, you know, I like hanging, I love this parts of Alan, but not so much these parts. Yeah, me too. I'm with you guys. As I get older, I'm like, I wish these would go away too. God's helping me. But the point is that one day all that's going to be gone, all the dross, all the bad parts of them, and all you're going to see is this glorified, amazing person before you that you get to spend eternity with, and it's an inheritance that just forever blesses you on the other side. Don't you want more of that? Don't you want more Zach's and Frank's and Mary's and Blake's and whoever who stood up, right? Like, I want it all. I want more. I want that Starbucks driver, because when the glory of God comes into her life and she really gets changed in this life, but definitely in the next life, it's going to be great to be around her. And she's going to bring something to heaven that nobody else could. There's something unique. It's almost like a multifaceted diamond of humanity that each reflects a different light, piece of God's light out into creation for eternity. And we're all this different side of this diamond. And man, we just want to increase that. And what a blessing it's going to be forever. So let's increase our inheritance. Amen? Which means we got to cross the Jordan. We've got to cross the Jordan. Now, easier said than done, right? And so with all that said, I'll just say this. That, you know, in the Bible, land is always associated with inheritance. Almost always. Almost always. And so your inheritance is the same as God's, which is not the physical land as much as it is the heartland, people's hearts. And so in your circles that you'll go back into after this, you want to begin to think at your workplace, God, win this person's heart, that they might come into the inheritance and that I and you would be blessed by it. And so that's the transition we need to make this morning. Now, how do you grow your inheritance? Well, Joshua 1 verse 2 says, "Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving you. I am giving you the heartland, GCF. I'm giving you hearts to come to know Christ. Will you cross the Jordan and go get them? And that means you might have to lose a little bit of rest. But this is the moment for this. And I just feel, yes, I'll tell you, led by the Holy Spirit to say this. This is a mission. You'll hear Christians talk. What I'm talking about this morning is a mission that you're going to have to take to get your inheritance. Now, the word mission comes from the word missio, which means what? Anybody know? Sent. Yes, I heard some people whisper it. Everybody's scared. You know, they're like, I don't know where this is going. Who knows? Okay. But yes, it's sent. It's somebody who's sent. And so mission, who we know in the Bible, Jesus is the one who's sent to us. And then the apostles and prophets and evangelists go and are sent to the nations. You and I are sent to the nations to reach the whole world with the gospel. Now, why this is important is because I love, like, SEAL team culture. Anybody else like watching, like, Terminal List? Anybody seen that? I love Terminal List. I can't get enough of Terminal List. Or there's another one, Day of the Scario. You know, Sicario, I think, I don't know how to say it, but anyways, I love watching it. It's like these SEAL team guys, and they are elite, and they're incredible, and they go on missions and make things happen and make things change, but usually they're bringing death and not life, right? But just that elite sort of unit that goes and changes the world. You know, Christians have the ultimate mission, and why I mentioned the SEAL team thing is because the military took the term mission, like the SEAL team are going to go on this mission and do X, Y, and Z, from the Christian. That was from you. You guys had the word, we had the word mission. And our mission is of utmost importance. It's the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission, right? So it's like, we're going to go do this mission for God. And so they were like, we like that what the Christians are doing. We're trying to do something like that, so we'll take it. But what you're called to do, and why I say this, is you're called to do the higher level than what the SEAL team is called to do. You've got genuinely a greater mission than them on this earth. But you can't rest the whole time. You can't just sit in your inheritance. You got to cross the Jordan. But man, what a great mission we're called to. You guys are called to be an elite group, elite unit to go all over the world and preach the gospel. Each and every one of you. When Jesus had 70 disciples, the reason he had 70 disciples in one gospel, and it says 72 in another gospel, because those 70 represented the table of nations in Genesis. So if you look at the Septuagint at 72, if you look at the Hebrew text at 70, without getting into a bunch of Hebrew and Greek this morning, the point is that when those two gospel writers were talking about it, they were talking about these nations being reached by the gospel. And Jesus just sent them out. I mean, these guys were not trained crazy well. They'd only been with Jesus 6 to 12 months, and he took the risk and sent them all over the world. And so out of this church, I believe there's going to become elite units to go all over the world, to go to the regions, just like the spies are sent out in Joshua 2. So some of you guys are going to be sent into the land to spy out different locations for church plants or missions. And so who's that going to be this morning? Who's going to go? Oh, he's already leaving. That's great. Praise God. He's gone. That's good. That's what we want to see. Come on, man. Yes. Amen, brother. I love it. He's like, I'm out of here. Where am I going? I don't know. Let's see. No, but that's what we want to see. So the moment you're in is a mission moment. We have a green light. Like a SEAL team gets a green light, like mission is a go. You've gotten a go. This is the best time that I have been in for the sake of the gospel. This is the best time in terms of openness to the gospel. And here's how I know. One, I'm just experiencing it personally. But two, look at the stats. Here is weekly Bible reading stats according to Barna. Okay, Barna surveyed 138,000 people. Now, if you look in 2017, we were on the Bible reading, weekly Bible reading was on the struggle bus, right? That's 28% of Gen Z. Now it's, you can't see it, but it's 49% of Gen Z is reading the Bible every week, every single week. And then look over here. Come on, millennials. We finally did something good, guys. Let's go. 50%. We're beating everybody. Come on, millennial. Any of you got any millennials in the house? Yes. Come on. We're always getting dogged, but we're reading the Bible more than anybody. Come on. Let's go. Gen X, 41% better for sure, but not hanging with the millennials. All right. And then boomers, we don't want to talk about that. It's not bad. It's good. We got to get you better. Okay, so I don't know what happened, boomers. You guys like peaked in 2010. We're coming back, though, right? 2026. But my point is, with young people reading the Bible this much, the mission field is open. You're green-lighted. You know, I came to know Christ over there in Scott Hall, reading. I'm kidding you not, by myself. I cried out to God. I said, God, I don't know you. I remember meeting some Christians in high school. I need the peace and the joy they had. Would you help me? And there was a Bible sitting on my TV back when you could sit Bibles on TVs, right? You remember that where you had like space? Now, if you did that, it wouldn't work. But I saw the Bible and I felt compelled to read it. And I just opened it up, flipped through. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I didn't know what I was doing. I saw Old Testament. I thought, I'm not really feeling old in terms of reading this. And so I was like, new, that sounds good. Then I started with Matthew, so I'm reading a genealogy. I'm like, I don't know what this means, Lord. Like, I didn't even know the word Lord. I mean, I'm just like, what is a Pharisee, a Sadducee? I mean, these people are sad. What is this? I don't know. But in the midst of that, in the midst of reading the scriptures, God drawing me to it, all of a sudden things begin to change. And I saw in the scriptures who Jesus really was. And I thought, if this is who you really are, you can have my whole life. Because you're not just some guy who hangs out with like sheep and kids. That's who I thought. But you are a person who, when you speak, it's as though God himself is speaking. It's unexplainable. It's like there is his words were like otherworldly to me. And I was like, if this is who you are, you can have my whole life. And I gave my life to Christ. And then just one thing after another started lining up. My inheritance started coming together. But my point is that there's a bunch of young people right now, 50% reading every week. Millennials, not just young people. Millennials are not young anymore. I'm 42. I'm 41. I can't even remember my age. That's how old I am. You know, I'm getting confused. So that's my point is that people my age and down, that's a lot of people reading the Bible every week. Come on. That means there's a lot of seeds going in that if somebody would just talk to one out of two Starbucks drivers or baristas about, hey, do you want to come to church with me? Hey, can I share real quickly about my testimony? Oh, well, actually, I've been reading the Bible. Actually, I've been thinking about this too. We got to get back on mission. We got to get back on mission. There is a openness right now like I have never seen. And that's not just theoretical, okay, people reading their Bible. I am seeing people get saved. I was at a cookout 2 weeks ago. Some students invited me to their 21st birthday cookout. They were all believers, so that, you know, there was no alcohol there, and they were very proud of that. Anyway, so, but I was there with them, and I'm talking to this guy named Sviet. I can't even really say his name. I've known him for a while. He's from Ukraine. Well, I met him a year ago, and Sviet was like basically arguing with me the whole time about how Jesus did not exist, and the Bible is trash, and he's an atheist, and all this stuff. Well, then, like 6 months later, I see him at one of our large groups, and I'm like, hey, what's up, man? Good to see you again. He's like, yeah, what's up? You know, he's got a cool accent. I think Ukrainian accents are kind of cool. And he was like, you know, he was like, and I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I don't know. Some friends brought me. I was like, okay, great. So that's my Ukrainian accent. All right, so then I'm at this cookout 2 weeks ago, and I'm talking to him, and he's like, why do you think, you know, people are so open to God right now? I was like, oh, it's funny that you noticed that. I said, what makes you notice that? He's like, I don't know, just something. Anyway, so I was like, okay, so the people are open. I think because two things, God's drawing people, spiritually speaking, and I think when young people or people looking to the future, it doesn't look so good. It's like AI coming for you or robots or who knows what, Iran wars. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the future holds. But I'm not the only one who feels like, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. That uncertainty is creating an existential crisis, right? Come on, philosophy majors. Yeah, it's creating an existential crisis that people are saying, I don't know about existence. So they're being a little bit more open. That's what God's using, I think. But more than that, it's the Father drawing people. That's what I told him. I said, I think that's the bigger thing. I think naturally it looks like this, but actually the Father's drawing them. And he said, yes, I agree. And I said, okay. I was like, what do you mean you agree? And he said, I said, well, which part? He said, both parts. I said, okay. Well, I said, well, are you a believer? Like, what happened? He said, yes, I gave my life to Christ like a month ago. I was like, that's amazing. Praise God. And he's like, yeah, you can clap for that. Praise God. And I think I've got a picture of him up here. Let me see. And that's him on the left. So Toby, it was Toby's 21st birthday. And then Sviet, Toby's been ministering to. He's a student. He's an engineering student. And you know what? He's gone through the pain of telling the gospel to people who didn't respond and yet kept doing it anyways. And who knows about all those seeds that are already grown that we don't know about, sure. But he got to actually see this fruit happen right before his eyes. And it's the same thing for you. You can get cynical and do nothing. Or you can be like, bump it. I'm crossing the Jordan. I'm on mission. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep going until I bump into Sviets, you know. Praise God. And he's cool. Like, I like him already. I'm like, dude, you're cool. Like, I want to hang out with you more. Tell me more about your political persuasions in Ukraine. You know, it's like wild. but Europe, I just got back from Europe too. And while I was in Europe, isn't Europe supposed to be close to the gospel, right? That's what they used to say. Like, it's hard over there. It's difficult. Amen. Was it? Anybody been over there like 10, 20, 30 years ago? Not exactly wide open, I wouldn't say, for the gospel. That's what I always heard. And I've been over there a few years ago, and I thought it was kind of closed. And then I go over there to Switzerland. By the way, you know, they're not doing too bad financially for themselves. So I'm over there thinking, I don't know what these people are like or if they're open to the gospel. They've got everything going for them. So we're going over there, and one of the people I meet when I was there was a guy named Niccolo, who was an atheist a year ago and came to know Christ. And the way he came to know Christ was that he was watching The Way of the Master. You guys familiar with this guy? Is that his name? Who's the guy who like says, have you ever lied before? You're a liar. Yes, Ray Comfort. He can be not very comforting, to be honest, you know. And so Ray Comfort is, he said, I was watching his videos, and at first, this is Niccolo. This is this atheist guy who's like 19, 20, grew up in an atheist house, like third generation atheist. And his dad's crazy wealthy. Like Niccolo takes us to his house and he's like, I want you to meet my dad. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we're at his house and his dad's like making the best cup of coffee I've ever had in my life because he's from Italy and I guess he just got some secrets. And talk about a secret inheritance. I was like, I want in on this secret inheritance. This is good. How do you make this? And but then I joke around about something like, oh yeah, I saw his bike downstairs, his motorcycle. I was like, I'm going to take it for a ride after this. And he's like, that's fine. Just don't take the car. So I was like, okay, cool. And we go down this house is gorgeous. I can't even go into it. Like, it was actually undescribable in a way. But anyways, I go to the basement, and I'm down there, and the son just happens to be, like, he takes the cover off the car, and it's $1 million Ferrari sitting in the garage. And he's like, yeah, we're about to sell it for $1.6 million. And I was like, and he's like, you know, just to make the money. I was like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time in the U.S. It's a common thing for us. my point is that then after Niccolo, not long ago, got saved, then he led his sister to Christ, who was with us that night, and he led his mom to Christ. And we were there that night to lead his dad to Christ. And his dad left. He says, I really like those people a lot. You know, Niccolo, I didn't know about these Christian people, but the people you brought, there's something different about them. And that seed was planted, wasn't it? I want to say, when I was at on the campus of Bern in Switzerland, and maybe JT can attest to this too, we had two guys, at the very least, give their lives to Christ. Then we met with them the next few days to do discipleship. And the next, I mean, they were hungry. They were like, followed us around for a few hours. Came to play. I was like, why don't you come? Or Toby was like, why don't you come with us here? And the person was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, we could be taking you anywhere. You know, like, should be more careful. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, they gave their lives to Jesus. And what I would say is that Europe is as open as NC State, the campus we were on, as open. They're just as open there, young people, as they are here. We got to go. The nations are inheritance. There's not like a campus crusade for Christ and an Ivy and 15 other campus ministries there. There is nothing. There's nothing. There's one campus ministry that has 8 people in it for a university of 20 to 30,000 people. We got to go. Who's going to go get that inheritance? Who's going to go to the nations? And so with all that said, we are seeing a move of God. As we go, we're seeing a move of God. An inheritance is being given to us through God's more people being gathered in the body of Christ. And one of those people I brought this morning all the way from Raleigh. And I'm going to let him share. And this guy is maybe has been in this church. You mentioned you've been in the church for 22 years as a kid. And I think he might have been here the same time you were, right? And so, JT, why don't you come up and share? You guys give a warm welcome from JT. He's an NC State student. And, oh, yeah, there you are. So,
thank you, Alan. Good morning. I was thinking in my seat, I was like, what does Alan put on his computer? It's just a mirror. He just checks his hair every now and then to make sure he's looking okay. No, yeah, went to Switzerland with Alan. It was great. They really are open. There's something there. Most of our conversations were actually really insightful. There are so many people there that believe in a God, they just don't know who. And there are even more people who believe in a Christian God, but they really don't want to believe only in the Christian God. And so a lot of our conversations were just like, why this God? Why this God? And that feels very similar to State. People are looking for something. They're looking for this inheritance that Alan's talking about. They want that community. They want people, but they don't know where to find that. And that was me as well. I went to GCF for a while, I think probably 2007 to 2019. My parents are Rob and Amy, shout out, they're great people. Yeah, and then we moved to Raleigh, and it was rough, COVID, high school, didn't have a lot of friends, and I took a philosophy class, and that class showed me I'm allowed to think for myself, and my faith doesn't have to be my parents' faith. And that was really good for me, because it made me confront it and think about why I believe what I believe, but unfortunately, the conclusion I came to was that I didn't believe it. And I was arguing with my Christian friends, like, what you believe is wrong. And they were arguing back with me, and we would have this whole back and forth. But the whole time, there was something there. Because I had been at GCF, and I had seen this inheritance. And I had experienced the love that you guys have for each other, and how great it is to be living in that inheritance. And I knew I wanted that, but I didn't know where to find it. And I really didn't want to find it in the church for some reason. My heart was just hard to the gospel. And so I go to college, I'm carrying that same mindset, and I'm looking for people. I'm doing all the clubs. I did frat stuff for the first week of freshman year, and that put me in the hospital, so I decided that wasn't the best place for me to be. I left that, joined all the clubs, spike ball club, anti-small talk club, don't even ask, philosophy club, of course, which made me more confused, added a philosophy major because I was like, if I want to know how to live my life, if I know there's something missing, I didn't know, but it was this inheritance that I was missing, where can I find it? Philosophy, surely, right? They've got all the answers. Don't do that. It's just more questions. In fact, there are people who are like, the answers in philosophy are more questions, and it's very deep and philosophical. And it was then when I was most confused in the midst of that existential crisis of who am I, why am I here, and most of all, just what am I supposed to be doing? What is the right thing for me to do? That God's just started putting people in my life, people. And the first guy was a Muslim in one of my philosophy classes who said, do you believe in God? And I didn't know, so I said, I don't know, do you? And he gives me this whole theological argument for why he believes in God. Pretty basic. It's just, why is there something and not nothing? That blew my mind. Why is there something? Where did it come from? And that was a seed. And then I met another guy, Christian. He was in my anti-small talk club. And I didn't know it, but he eventually told me that he was a Christian, and he asked me where I was from. I told him I had a little bit of a faith background, but I couldn't believe in the Bible. How are these guys, you know, 2,000 years ago telling me about this Jesus guy? And how can I believe in this Jesus guy? And he connects me with some really great resources. And it like all appealed to this logical side of me. And I go and I look them up and I'm like, okay, Bible's pretty cool. We can rock with the Bible. I like that. And then I met another person. And this was like the emotional. It was the joy of the Lord radiated off of this person. And I knew I wanted that. And she was plugged into a community. And she was always talking about how great her friends were and how great her community is and how badly she wants to go back and see them. And I was like, I want that. I want that. And I asked her, I was like, how are you so happy? She was telling me about also all these terrible things that she was going through. And yet she had a smile on her face the whole time. I didn't get it. So I asked, like, how are you so happy? And she was like, it's Jesus. It really is Jesus. And that was enough. I was like, okay, I have this foundation from GCF. I understand that if I want to know Jesus, I got to get in the Bible. But I had never really opened the Bible on my own. So I go to Safari. I go to Google. Very Gen Z of me. I probably asked ChatGPT. I said, how do I do a Bible study? Like, how do I read my Bible? What is this like? And, you know, it connected me to a YouTube video, 30-minute sermon, said memorize a verse, say a prayer. I did all that, felt nothing, nothing at all. But I was like, all right, it's okay. He's knocking on the door. I can put a little bit of faith. I can push in a little bit more. Next day, I'm on campus, Free Expression Tunnel. Asia is handing out flyers. If you don't know Asia, she's ENC, she's a leader at ENC. And I picked it up, and I knew I had to go. Alan and I had a conversation. I think my parents were like, hey, our son is in a rough spot. He just was in the hospital from this thing he happened at a frat party. Like, can you please go speak to him? And so we had met the year before, and I just knew I had to go. I didn't know it, but it was conviction. Like, I had to be there. And I go through the rest of my day, completely forget about it. Spikeball club happens, and as I'm putting on my shoes, I reach in, I pull out the flyer, and I go, oh, I do not want to go to this. I do not want to go to this. I don't have anybody to go with. I stink. this whole God thing's like foreign to me. I've kind of lost what it's like. But I was hungry for people, for community, for this inheritance. And so my feet took me there. That's really how I describe it to people. It's like no part of me wanted to go except for my soul, and it just got me there. And I sit down in the back. I'm still kind of huffing and puffing about it. And immediately something's different. Like I recognize something. And I think it really came from GCF and like the love that you guys have and the community that you guys have. That was like imparted in me from a young age. And so I sat down and I recognized it. Like different backgrounds, different communities, different cultures coming together, showing love to each other and showing love to me. People came up and said, hi, like I don't know you. Let's meet. And that was really important to me. I'm a bit of an extrovert. So like I like when people come up and chat with me. And that was huge. And then Alan comes up. That was great. It's like, familiar face. This is nice. And then he gives a word about how to read your Bible. He's like, whoa, coincidence. Definitely a coincidence. God doesn't work like that. It can't be that clear. And so I keep operating under that. And he's speaking and he's speaking. And I kind of pull. I'm like, all right, God, if you really want to show me something, pull that verse that I memorized. Throw it on the board. And I fully believe. This was like my ticket out. I was like, he's not going to do that. He can't do that. Of course, it was the next verse on the slide, Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have been trained to distinguish good from evil. And that blew my mind. And for the next 30 minutes, everything that came out of Alan's mouth was things that I'd been studying, things I had been reading, things I had been anxious about, questions I had. And I knew that God was calling out to me. He was like, JT, I want you. I want you here. I want you to experience this inheritance and the joy of being with the people, with the nations. And so I go up to Alan afterwards, and I'm like shaking. I'm like, Alan, you have no idea how important this was to me. But I'm like, still in this old life, there's a party this weekend. Like, how do I say no to that? I got people counting on me. You know, I'm supposed to be there. There's a girl there. She's pretty. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I want to say no. Like, I want to run. This is really what I want. And he's like, well, we got fall retreat this weekend. That's a pretty good excuse. And so I say yes to fall retreat. And it's there that I give my life to Christ and say, Lord, you have it. I want to be a part of this inheritance. And I want to be with your people. It was really great. And I got baptized. That's me. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll hand it off. Yeah. Thank you.
Come on. Give yeah. Up.
You know it's real because there was a pretty girl, and he said, no, something's changed. Most of you guys know Rob, or maybe not most, but Rob used to be the director of Building Hope for a number of years. Great man of God. He got saved at Chapel Hill years ago. And then, you know, I got saved at ECU years ago. And then here you got JT getting saved at NC State in these different generations. This is our inheritance. It's these people. It's not, you know, all the other stuff. And there's, and I want to share a verse with you. I know we're a little over time, but can we be okay with that for just a second? There's a verse here, and I feel like it's really important that you understand this. And I'll just kind of summarize it. But it's in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And basically, it says this. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, Who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, now listen to this. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And then he told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? This is in the same verse. I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Build bigger barns and bigger houses and bigger 401ks and bigger all the stuff, guys. And I'll say to myself, he's saying to himself, I have plenty. You have plenty. He's telling himself, now you can rest. You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But it said, God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? In the midst of all that we're talking about this morning, as great as the inheritance is, Moses even warns these same tribes who already are in their rest, you better not stay in that rest state in this moment. You better cross that Jordan. When there's battle, this is even before this moment, he says, I know you guys are going to be on the peaceful side. You have got to get out of the peaceful side and go to the war side. And it's not a suggestion. It's not like, come, let me rally the troops. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's like, this is a call from God, a black and white, to lay everything down for him. And Jesus is the one who said this. Nice Jesus, hanging out, loving Jesus. He says this about what to do with our inheritance. Our time is genuinely short here. The days genuinely get shorter. As you get older, the time ticks quick, and then it's gone. What will you be like? Will you lay down all of your time and your finances and your resources to not just help someone else even get their own inheritance, not only increase your share in the inheritance, but get Jesus his inheritance? That's the ultimate call. That's why God is so serious about this, because those his people are involved and his people are the inheritance. And so we are left on this planet right now not to just rest on the side of the Jordan that's peaceful. None of us are. Not one. We are all called to go to war for him, to get him his inheritance, his people that are on the other side of the Jordan. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're 70 and you've been doing this a while. It matters, are you a believer? Are you one of God's children? Then you're one of his warriors that's called to go do something as it relates to mission. And I just want to encourage you this morning to say, look, there's a lot of good reasons, but the scriptures won't let me just do that. There is just a call to say, this isn't just a nice thing to say, it's a command from God above. Get out of your comfortable space. Get out of storing up wealth here and time here and comfort here and go. Now, with that said, that means two things. You're going to have to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to go do things that are emotionally hard. You're going to have that conversation at work this week. You're going to have to raise funds to go on a mission trip. You're going to have to support people to go on a mission trip when you don't really have the funds, but you sense the unction of the Holy Spirit saying, support them, send them. They're supposed to go. You better figure out a way to send them, or you better go. But I've got all these things, Lord. No. It's not about your things. It's about my kingdom. So Jesus is ultimately worthy of this from us. He's the one that gives us the eternal inheritance. But I want to spend my days increasing his. I want his inheritance to grow. I want his, so to speak, his investment to go through the roof, because I want all glory and honor given to him from every tribe and tongue, from every heart over every nation. I want the nations are his inheritance, Psalm 2. I want to give him his inheritance. Is he worthy? Is the lamb who was suffering, is he worthy of this from us? And if the answer is yes, it's time to not think about it, feel about it. It's time to go. They're waiting for you. An inheritance is waiting for you, but more than that, more important than that, it's waiting for him. Let's go get it for him, the one who through his death gives us all that we have. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you this morning for this amazing church that I even know now God is thinking about these things in their heart, pondering these things in their heart. And so, God, I do pray as they ponder in their heart this morning, the young and the old, the wise and not so wise, God, that you would speak to them now about what they are to do for your mission, for your inheritance, to increase your inheritance. They would not stand or sit this morning cynical. They wouldn't be judgmental, well, this and that. They would say, Lord, what do you want me to do as it relates to your inheritance? If that's you this morning and you're like, I'm not just doing this because I'm supposed to. I'm genuinely open to do whatever Jesus wants me to do for his inheritance. If that means give, if that means go, if that means do something else, I genuinely am open to what he wants me to do. I just want you to open your hands like this. You can look up here just like this. Just open your hands. I'm not going to even look. Just open your hands to the Lord. And then say it with me. Jesus, I will go wherever you call me to go. I will use my resources to go myself or send others. God, put a nation, put a people, put a person on my heart today. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we close this morning. Thank you, Alan, for that impartation. Wasn't that good? We need that, don't we? We need that. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. If you guys need prayer for something, we're going to have our altar workers up here. We'd love to stand in prayer for you. What a great word. There's a lot to wrestle with. Excited about what God's doing in our midst, in this church, in this city, and in the nations. We're actually speaking of the nations. We've got 20 missionaries coming back tomorrow from the Dominican Republic. Amen. They've been there all week, seeing people get saved, healed, doing ministry all over the city, all over the country there. So please continue to pray for them. You guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.